simply go to the Cash App and look for Macedonia BCAZ and look for the call letters to give, which is $MBCAZ. And we want to thank you in advance for your giving. Amen and amen. Well, there is a word from the Lord. It's time for the word. And I want to give this to you as effective as I possibly can. We need the Lord's help in rendering this word. And I solicit your prayers. If you could turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 12 through 21. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. It should be up on the big screen so that you might have the opportunity to view it. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. And I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one dies for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing and putting their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy and inspired word. If I could tag this sermon or tag this text for my sermon title, it would be The Operation Without Hands. The Operation Without Hands. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would touch me, Father God. Lord, I ask that you would move me like you have never moved me before. Father God, I thank you for this word that you have imparted in my heart. Now, Lord, let these lips of clay proclaim it with power, that the people would have ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have given to me to give to them. Now, Lord, move like you ain't never moved before, and do what this word was intended to do, and that is to save a sinner, strengthen a saint, heal, deliver, and set free. That is my prayer. In Jesus' precious and holy and righteous name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Again, the operation without hands. Beloved, we live in a world that can easily, and I mean easily, mold us into its image, meaning the world's image. the things that we do and the situations and the circumstances. We can be molded and we can allow it to take root and take effect in our lives. How do I know that? Because we see advertisements based on the assumption that people want things different from the way they are. Even now, as we enter into the latter part of February, I'm sure that there's folks that have made resolutions and therefore already have broken them. And I pray that they still continue to trek on in the changes. But people want to change. They want to look better. They want to feel better. They want to think better. And they even want to live better. They want to change their lives, but only from an external point. Amen. And some, if most, are unwilling to change internally. They want to look good on the outside, but the inside is still messed up, tied up, and knotted up, and therefore change cannot take place. Why? Why is this the assumption of change? It's simply because they're unable to do so. If we allow this to happen, can new, the newness of life, the newness of our perception, the newness of our mind, can it really have an effect on those around us when it comes to dealing with them and Jesus? That's a question that is before us in this text, because as we live in this world, do we really have an obligation as born-again believers to the world around us? Only the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to change people and deliver them from sin, from Satan, from judgment, from death, and, beloved, from hell. Oh yeah, I need you to understand that there is a hell that is lying in wait for individuals that won't turn their lives over to the care of God when it comes to salvation. In Acts 4:12, it says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus the Christ." So God's word, which is all about Jesus Christ, can only take place and only do what for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We are sinful and unable to remedy our condition. But from God comes the incredible, limitless power that can transform our lives. Scripture here in 2 Corinthians speaks of change that takes place in an individual when they are saved. A change that is so dramatic that it simply cannot be explained. It is the kind of change that makes a drunk sober, a drug addict clean, and a prostitute pure. It's a wonder why so many who profess salvation but never possess salvation. I'm going to say that again, because it is the question before us. Are you a professor of salvation, or are you a possessor of salvation? No one, not you or I, could or can encounter the living Christ and experience the change that he alone makes possible, and be the same person they was before they made that conversion. And today, beloved, I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you. The operation without hands If you and I claim to truly know Christ as salvation or in salvation, you will be encouraged to understand all the implications that salvation brings. However, if you are a professor and not a possessor, you will be challenged to the very core of your religious beliefs. Religion, all types of religion has never taken anyone to heaven. Let me knock on somebody's door and let you know that all the religion that you might have, it has never taken anyone to heaven. Only genuine salvation in Christ will accomplish that. And so that brings me to my first point of this text, and that is, I am a new creation in Christ. We're looking at 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Our efforts, beloved, to improve our lives are as trivial as sweeping a house slated to be knocked down. The renovations that God has in mind when we become gods, the old life is over and a new life begins. That's why it says in verse 17, he makes all things new. All Jesus wants is the sight and the permission to build. That's powerful stuff. God wants to use us in such a way, not that we would look like church folks, but externally, but internally, that he would do a work inside of us that would make a change in our lives and the lives that people that we might be sent to. I was dead in trespasses and sin, but now I have been made alive. And my whole being, beloved, my whole nature, my whole life, and my behaviors has changed. And it has to change. We need God to do something supernaturally that we cannot do for ourselves. How does he do it? It's the operation made or without hands. Point number two, I am reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And that's in verses 20, chapter 5 and 18 and 19. It says that I have peace with God through the blood of Christ. And because his blood was big enough, the blood that Christ shed it on Calvary's cross was big enough to cover all of our sins, all of our lusting, all of our lying, all of our cheating, all of our hatred, all of our faults. And I don't know about you, but we need this reconciliation because sin has ruined our relationship with God. But we see also that death and resurrection of Jesus is accomplished through him. And the relationship with God has now been mended. And now we have safe passage for change for the better. And I'm not just waiting for God to come when he calls my name. And even though it's something that I'm looking forward to, I want to still be able to commune with him while I'm on this earth. But a change has to take place in the lives of the people who claim that he is who he is. Beloved, we are not able to have fellowship with God. In Christ, I am blameless and above reproach. And God has justified us as one of his elects. I am beyond condemnation because my sins are paid for. Why are these things so important that I can't commune with him because I'm not who I say I am in him? You know, I have to be justified. I have to realize that I'm not condemned, and it all because of Jesus, because the operation was done without hands. Point number three is I am an ambassador of God. If you look right there at verse number 20 in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Oh, I like that because I come to realize that I am an authorized representative of the Lord. I don't speak in my name or voice my own opinion. I speak on behalf of God, whom I represent. My whole duty and responsibility as an ambassador is to interpret the Lord's mind faithfully, truthfully, and effectively. Those to whom he has sent. For I am an ambassador proclaiming Christ's message to the world. And I need you to catch that, because some of us think that you got to be behind this sacred desk. No, no, no. Some of us think that we have to be a Sunday school teacher. No, no, no. Some of us think that we got to be a deacon or we got to wear a hat or we got to wear a fancy robe. No, no, no. All you got to do is believe that you have change and a change has been made in your life. And when that change takes place in your life, God starts to do things on the inside. And then he'll work on the outside. And then people will start to see all that God is doing in your life and want to realize and want to know how they can come to that same knowledge of who God is. That's why we are all authorized representatives and ambassadors for the Lord. Because he done something miraculous. He done something amazing. And he did it without hands. And then the last point that I want to make is that I am redeemed through Jesus Christ. Right there in verse 21, he says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There's a story about a father and his son who worked for months to build a toy sailboat. Every night when the father came home from work, the man and his boy would disappear in the garage for many hours. It was a labor of love for the things they were creating. The wooden hull was painted bright red, and it was trimmed with a gleaming white sail. When it was all finished, they traveled to a nearby lake for the boat's trial run. Before it was launched out, the father tied a string to the stern to keep it from sailing too far. The boat performed beautifully. But before long, a motorboat that was crossing the lake cut the string, and the sailboat drifted out of sight on this large lake. with all the attempts that they tried to make, came up fruitless. And both the father and the son wept over its loss. A few weeks later, the boy was walking home from school. He passed his favorite toy store, and he was amazed to see the toy sailboat in the window, and he claimed it was his. He ran inside to claim the boat, telling the owner about his experience on the lake. But the store owner explained that he found the boat while he was on a fishing trip and said to him, you may be the maker, but I am the finder, and that makes me the legal owner. If you want the boat back, you're gonna have to bring back a $50 bill. The boy was stunned at how it would cost so much to regain his boat. But since it was so precious to him, he quickly set about earning the money to buy it back. I think you know where I'm going. A few months later, he joyfully walked into the store and handed the owner the $50 in exchange for the sailboat. It was the happiest day of this little boy's life. As he left the store, he held the boat so tightly, and he was looking at the bright colors that was gleaming through the newly painted sailboat. He said to the boat and to himself, I made you, but I lost you. Now I brought you back. That makes you twice mine, and twice mine is mine forever. Ain't it just like Jesus, who came down through 42 generations? He said he would do it for the Father. The Father says that there's a judgment that the people must pay for their sins. He said, let me work with them. Let me go to their houses. Let me go to their jobs. Let them go to the churches and let me spread the good news of the gospel with them. Let them know that they might have been old, but now they're young. He let them know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He is our Redeemer who obtained it all on the cross. He's our Redeemer who was sent to give us the gospel. The Bible says it's a love letter for all mankind. I'm so glad that Jesus has the written word. Jesus has the inspired word. But unfortunately, beloved, many have never opened the Bible and have never became a new creature. But I'm so glad that Jesus stayed for a little while. He walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem and Judea. He healed the sick, and he raised the dead, and he fed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. I'm so glad that he died on Calvary's cross, but they didn't do it in a right way, but they did God's way. They took him from courtroom to courtroom. They falsely accused him, and they definitely charged him. When they took him up Golgotha's hill, they hung him high, and they stretched him wide. They even put a crown of thorns on his head, but he didn't say a mumbling word, because he had some unfinished work to do. He says that I will die for the people because I love them so much. And God the Father says, because of your death, I will give them new life. He died, didn't he die? And because he died, we become new creatures. And we so good, God is so good that he didn't finish there, because what he did, he was laid in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there on Saturday because he was dying on one Friday. He was there Saturday night. I'm so glad it was operation without hands, but early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. He performed the operation without hands because it was from the heart. They nailed his hands, but that didn't stop him. They nailed his feet, that didn't stop him. They laid him in a borrowed tomb, and that didn't stop him because it was an operation made with hands. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is revealed through his word, God's holy and inspired word? And when it comes to Jesus Christ and the salvation that he has provided for us, we need to do the same in reciprocating the love that he has for us. We must submit to him by confessing our sins and making Jesus Christ Lord in our lives. I am a child of the Almighty God, and nothing can separate me from the love of God. How do I know? Because I was a slave, and now I'm royal. I was an orphan, and now I'm a child. I was an enemy, and now I'm an ally. I was lost, but I found. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was hungry, and he fed me. I was naked, and he clothed me. I needed shelter, and he provided just what I needed. So remember, when life is unfair, you are a child of the King. Remember when you get a diagnosis that you dread. Remember, you are a child of the King. Remember when loved ones walk away from you. You are a child of the King. Remember when persecution comes your way and they mock your Lord and Savior. Let them know I'm a child of the King. Remember when you feel like everything is lost. Remember you are a child of the King. Remember when you are tempted to go back into the life of slavery. You are a child of the King. As a child of the King, we have new clothes. We have a new home, and we have a new life. Believe that Jesus is God's Son. Confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Repent on your life and give God the throne of your life, and be immersed in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and live faithfully as the child of the Almighty King, because it was an operation that was made without hands. The doors of the church are open. If you want this new life, you got to come to Jesus. I'm not saying you got to have a come to Jesus moment. You got to come to Jesus. Jesus said in his word, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, woman, or child would open the door, he said, I will come in and I will sup with you." Now, God didn't use his hand to open the door. He already performed the greatest, miraculous, and wonderful operation that he could ever perform when he died on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine. Aren't you glad that you didn't have to do it. I know I'm glad I didn't have to do it, but I'm so glad Jesus did. So you got to come to Jesus. You got to, as I said, you got to believe. You got to confess. You got to repent. And then you got to allow God to do what only He can do, and that's the forgiveness of your sins. If you're like me, I've done some things wrong and I'm not pleased with. I've done some things that I'm not proud of, but I am so glad that Jesus died for me. I love that song where it says, Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like Billy Horace. Man, He died for me. That's what y'all got to make. You got to make it personal. He went to Calvary, did all of that brutality, went through all of that brutality, hung on the cross from the 6th to the 9th hour. They mocked Him. They spitted on Him. They cursed Him. They even, you know, told Him that if He was who He said He was, come off the cross. And then the audacity of one of the thieves saying, if you are who you say, save yourself and save us. He wasn't serious. And I don't want you to have that sarcasm, that religious sarcasm with God either. God did it for you and I so that we might have life and have it not only eternally, but also abundantly. But you got to give your life over to Christ. If you have, like me, have tried all kinds of ways to try to make a quick fix in your life, why don't you try Jesus? I have decided to make Jesus my choice. If you decide to make Jesus your choice, then confess that you are who you say you are, that He already knows. He already knows that you're a sinner, but you got to confess that. All the nonsense, all of the treachery, all of the dread, all of the circumstances that led us to making this decision, you got to say, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I've done some things that I'm not proud of, and certainly You know, because I believe. So I know You know, and now I am acknowledging that I know that You know. Lord, I'm acknowledging that I'm a sinner. I'm letting You know that I'm a sinner. And then repent. Lord, I can't do it without You. I can't make it without You. I tried it. It didn't work. Lord, I can't do it. So, Lord, I am giving my life to You. Like that song that says, I give myself away. Lord, I'm giving you the unction to do whatever You want to do in my life. Even if it's to sit still and wait. But, Lord, You got to do this in the inside so the outside would glow. And then you got to allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life, to guide you, to lead you, and direct you. And then after all of those procedures in this operation is performed without hands, then God says, live. Live. Live the life that I have now set before you. Live the life to be my ambassador. Live the life to be my authorized representative. Live the life of being a disciple and tell somebody that Jesus is real. That He's real in my heart. He's real in my life. And because He's real in my life, I want to show you how He can be real in yours. And then they could ask all the questions they want. They say, how did this miraculous thing happen? How did you, Pastor Horace, how did you get to this knowledge of who Christ is in your life? And you can tell them simply, because it was an operation without hands. And if you make that decision and you're ready to pray the prayer of salvation, I want to encourage you to repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I need You. I'm a sinner and I'm confessing my sins before You. Lord, please forgive me of all of my sins. I open the door of my life. And Lord, I want You to take control of my life. Take over the throne of my life and make me the kind of person You want me to be. If you pray that prayer and you sincerely mean it. Right here in this text, what we have been discussing in 2 Corinthians 5 and 12, you are now a new creature. In verse number 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, it says, old things have passed away. That doesn't mean that your face is going to change, your body type is going to change. It doesn't mean your circumstances is going to change. It means that on the inside, God is now taking residence, and now God is renovating the nonsense, the mess that's going on in your life. That when you can walk with a pep in your step. You can have a slide, a glide in your slide. And here's how it is. Here's how it's done. It's done through the Holy Spirit. So now you don't look at things the old way. You look at things from a new perspective, a perspective of God. And in doing so, you will have joy, unspeakable joy, that you never would have imagined. But you got to turn your life over to the care of God. Earlier in my sermon, I talked about reconciliation. Some of us have been with God, have been a professor, mean we profess salvation, we profess Jesus as our Lord, but we ain't possessors of it. Meaning we're not living the life that God has created in us, because we still holding on to some old baggage. We still have some religious storage that we still have in the recesses of our heart and our spirit. God said it's time to release that. It's time to let that go. It's holding you back. It's becoming a stumbling block. It's apparent that the more you continue to hold on to it, the more stuff you add into it. God says reconciliation is available to you. And with reconciliation, you could have not only the new life, but the newness of it. You'll see things from a totally different perspective. And God can now start to really operate in your life. I know God has blessed you because he already gave you salvation, especially if you accept it. But I want you to experience the relationship that he has for you. Because that relationship is real. It's real in my soul. It's real in your soul. All you gotta do is let go. Let go of all that nonsense. Let go of all that misery. Let go of all that frustration. Let go of all that stress. Let go of all that world. And let God operate in your life in such a way where reconciliation can take place and you can experience more that God has available to you. And then lastly, I don't care whether you're physically here or you're virtually. If God is leading you to be a member of this church and God is leading you to this house of worship, we will welcome you with open arms. Why? Because God welcomed us. God is in this place. No, you can't see it. You can't feel it. Like you can't touch it, but you can experience it. The experience that the love of God in this church and in the people who really love God and love Macedonia. If you want to be a part of that ministry, that fellowship, this is the church that you want to be in. Because we love people because God loved us first. I want to thank each and every one of you who has listened to this sermon. Forgive me for the technical difficulties. It's my fault. Count it to my head and not to my heart. Haven't been feeling well over this past week. And I know that God is going to move in my life to give me the strength to keep on climbing. And so I made a couple glitches and a couple mistakes. Please forgive me. I guarantee that as God continues to pour into me, he will effectively make sure that my mind is sharp and make sure that my heart is right to do the things of his will and his way. Kingdom building and kingdom business. for all that is worshiping with us. I want to thank each and every one of you for participating in this worship experience. We count it all joy that you have participated with us. We are excited and certainly delighted that you made a decision to worship with us. Wasn't able to see who all was on, but I want to thank each and every one of you collectively and effectively that God is able. He's able to heal, he's able to deliver, and he's able to set free. If you could do me a favor, if you enjoyed the service, I want you to share. Be a part of our Soul Patrol ministry and tell somebody that there was a word from the Lord on today, and it would bless you because it blessed me. All you have to do is follow, start a watch party, share, and keep us in prayer as we continue to do kingdom business and kingdom building. Listen, I am thankful for all the many who have participated, especially our special guests, but especially, oh so special, the Macedonians, the Macedonia Baptist Church family. I love you. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your support. And I thank you for staying with me, lined up with me as we continue to come and let us bring individuals into the kingdom. That's what we're all about here at Macedonia. And we thank all of our Macedonians for their commitment to God and to this church. Listen, I would be remiss if I didn't thank my wife, Lady Linda Harris, the first lady of this great church. We are so grateful for her participation as my executive producer. I thank her for being my partner in ministry. I love her more than life, and I thank God that he has blessed me with her. Amen. Listen, I gotta run. I want you to give. If you are led to give to this ministry, please. All you have to do is go to our website, Macedonia, BCAZ. You can see everything that's going on with Macedonia. We got pictures, we got sermons, we got podcasts, but we also have an opportunity for you to be able to give unto the Lord. And if God is leading you to give to this ministry, why don't you click on the give button and follow the instructions or the method of giving that you have the possibility of giving. To our cousin Lula in Las Vegas, we thank her for her financial support, but we also thank her for her love and her beloved membership here at Macedonia Baptist Church. Please continue to keep your loved ones and your friends in prayer. Listen, I have fun, but I gotta run. It's time for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine brightly upon you. May the Lord give you his peace, his love, his joy, and his prosperity, henceforth, now, and forevermore. And all God's people say amen, amen, and amen. The operation that is made with hands. Be blessed and be a blessing, because it's better higher up. You better know it. He's able.